had a good afternoon at the singing and blessed with being able to be with brothers and sisters from other congregations. And tonight we get to continue that a little bit with hearing from our brother Hank Lawson, who's with us tonight with his wife Betty. They're from the Church of Christ in Empire, which is just right in the Modesto area, if you know the central part of the state. One of the great blessings in being in the body of Christ are the friendships that you have over a long period of time. And I've known Hank most of my life. He and his wife and kids were at the church in Hawthorne when I was a boy. He taught my Bible school class in the junior high years and high school years. We were talking a little bit today in refreshments after the singing about some of those things, and just sharing memories. And his father-in-law and my dad served as elders together for several years at Hawthorne. Hank moved up to Sebastopol to begin preaching. I think, were you working at the bank before that? Or where were you working before you were preaching? That was it? Okay. He was working in Hawthorne, and then just position opened up in Sebastopol. And the next thing we knew, Hank and Ginger and the kids were gone. And Hank was up there preaching. And as the Lord would bless us, several years later, Ellen and I moved up to Petaluma, California, just south of Sebastopol, where the Lawsons were living. And Hank was, and my future brother-in-law were filling in doing the radio program at Petaluma while the Petaluma preacher was not there. And so got to work with Hank on that radio program for quite some time. And for the last 34 years, I believe, Hank's been preaching at Empire. But Hank was here before. It's been, I don't know how many years it's been too long, but when he was here, his wife Ginger, I think so many of you met her, Ginger passed away several years ago, and we're blessed along with Hank to meet Betty, and who's keeping Hank in line as much as he can be kept in line, and just it's a blessing for us. Today's our first to meet Betty, and just a wonderful delight. Hank preaches, but then also speaks on behalf of Agape Villages, which is a ministry for children, especially foster care for kids in the central part of the state. I know tonight he'll be doing both. He'll be preaching to us and also telling us, I'm sure, something about Agape Villages, and has some things to leave with us. I know some in the congregation have sent contributions to that work, so it'll be good for you to hear about that as well. But Hank, we're just so glad you and Betty are with us today. I've been looking forward to it, and just looking forward to hearing you preach the word the way God's blessed you to do.
Well, thank you, Richard. I was only in my teens when I was teaching him, and I was just new in the church and new, and so I was very, very young at the time. I don't want to tell you how old I am. Most people think ought to be dead by now, but I am so ornery, I just keep living, and going to keep doing that as long as I can. It's a joy to be here. I love Richard, I love Ellen. In fact, Ellen's dad was a preacher, one of my best friends in the valley up there. We used to spend a lot of good times together with Ted, and you know, it's just amazing how the life can continue to enter twine, and so it's a joy to be with them and with you guys tonight as I bring the lesson on the willing. Guys, there's only two groups of people in the world, those that are willing. You got to realize if you're not willing, you automatically become unwilling. There's nothing in between. And so we're always looking for the willing at Agape Village. We're looking for foster parents. You guys are a little out of our service area. But at the same token, when it comes to taking care of children, Agape Village is the only Church of Christ work with children on the West Coast. I appreciate taking care of the orphans and Thailand, Korea. I appreciate taking care of the orphanage. You know, back east, you got all kinds of children homes under the Church of the Christ operation. And some send their money back east to those, and it's a great work. Guys, I want you to know that there's a lot of problems with the children in California. The problem in your city. The problem is in your neighborhood. And if we're going to take care of some kids, we need to take care of some of ours. And we're looking for a willing heart to do that. You can't be a foster parent. But Sleep Train has a beautiful slogan called, if you can't be a foster parent, support a foster parent. And that is something we think is a good idea. We're looking for those that are willing to do that. Exodus chapter 34. Make that 35. 34 is pretty close. Now, I don't know how long this sermon is going to last because Richard didn't give me anything to lay my brains on. I tell you, there's nothing worse than having a preacher don't know where the end is. That's why I never trust a preacher who don't have notes. Because he never knows what he's done. And so you guys may be here for the duration tonight. That was verse 4 of Exodus chapter 35. Now, as you know, the children of Israel had just been led out of captivity. They'd been slaves. And now they have been led out by the power of God. And now for the first time, they're going to build a place where God will be felt or known or to know who was. The tabernacle. See, this is just a church building. I realize that it's made out of brick and stones and all that stuff. But, you know, it is recognized as a place where God is. And we need to come and be around the place where God is. Oh, I know you can worship God. I know in the forest you can feel close. But this building represents where God is. And we need to come there often. Touch bases with us and God. Well, they were going to have to build this tabernacle where God would be. So here in verse 4, Moses spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel. I want you to underline all. Because there wasn't anyone that was exempt. There wasn't anyone that this wasn't addressed to. See, this Bible is inspired by God, and it is written to all of us. Sometimes we like to pass the responsibility on to the preacher. We like to pile it on the elders. But this Bible is written to you. All of us. So by the power of God, Moses says to all of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. I don't leave much wiggle room, does it? God has commanded, saying, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Are you listening to what says next? Whoever is of a willing heart. It doesn't tell me anything. I know we have to be certainly quiet with the Bible quiet, but by saying the willing heart would indicate there must have been some unwilling heart. In order to accomplish God's will, wherever it is, whether it's the Old Testament Moses or the Newland Street Church in Garden Grove, to get the job done, take willing. We got to have willing hearts. And so Moses is letting them know, whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it to the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, bronze. And it goes and lists it. Because this is building of the tabernacle. They need money. They need material. They need manpower. Things haven't changed much, huh? You see, that's modern America. That's modern Southern California. In order to accomplish the Lord's work, we're going to need money, we're going to need material, we're going to need manpower. That has never changed. I don't know why we have so much trouble with it. Been around a long time. And so the one that were willing then, they were able to come and they made their contribution. They furnished money. Then ram skin, dyed red, porpoise skins, and acacia wood, oil for the lighting and spices, for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastplate. They got money and material. Manpower's coming. But you got to start somewhere. And only those with a willing heart respond. Verse 21. Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought to the Lord contribution for the work of the tent of meetings and for all the service for the holy garments. God has to dress up these priests. Aaron and his boys are going to have special garments. And the ones that were going to help with that are the ones that their heart was stirred. See, what's so powerful about heart that's stirred? There's only one thing that can stir a heart. When it comes to serving God and come to being what God wants it to be, there's only one thing that can stir your heart. One thing! That's faith. Romans 10, verse 10, the Bible says, with the heart, man believes. That's where you store faith. It's in your heart. And that's how it can move you. So when we look in the mirror from time to time, and in my age, I try not to do that. I got the weirdest thing in my house. There's an old man hanging around in there. Ugly old man. And when I look in the mirror, he gets between me and the mirror. I don't know how to get rid of him. I go to another mirror right quick, and by the time I get there, he's there. Look at me. I know that's not me, that old and that ugly. But it takes a willing heart in order to be moved. And here, they brought the contribution because the only thing that stirs your heart, faith comes by hearing, then that is another major contribution. Knowing that with the heart man believes, okay? And if you don't believe, you have a faith problem. A faith problem. You don't have an attendance problem, you have a faith problem. You don't have a giving problem, you have a faith problem. Because if faith is there, all the rest of it takes care of itself. Now the big problem is, if you have a faith problem, Romans 10:17 tells you how to fix it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're not wanting to fix it, man, you really got a problem. And I know I'm talking to the cream of the crop here in Garden Grove tonight. You know, I don't know, you are the devoted one, the one that come out again on Sunday night for another beating. And we appreciate it, because there's nothing worse than talking to empty people. But the heart is it. The heart has to be moved to make people become willing. Until you become willing for God to use you, God got a problem waiting for you to get a willing heart. Verse 36. Woo, I like this one. Because most of the time, the Bible seems like they're beating up on us men. Commanding 6 saying, like, men love your wives. All that stuff. But here, look at this. All the women. See, women have skill. Women have ability. Women have means. And so, all the women whose hearts stirred with the skill spun the goat head. That's something they could do. And they were willing to do. So valuable. What we can do as individuals and as congregation to become together. And we have willing hearts. Willing to let God talk to us, willing to understand God, willing to obey God. He commands. He did to Moses, he does to us. Verse 29. The Israelites. There's that all again. I just love that one. Doesn't leave any of us out. We can all be a part of all. That's just the way it is. The Israelites, all the men and women whose hearts move them to bring material to all the work, which the Lord has commanded through Moses to be done, brought a free will offering to him. Only the willing is going to ever get the job done. It don't matter what the job is. If we're not willing to put our hand to work, if we're not willing to put our mind to work, if we're not willing to become involved, it's not going to get done. It's just more. Most of us, or a lot of us, that because, you know, there's more talented people. You ever feel that way? The one thing I wanted to appreciate about Matthew 25 and the story of the talent, and the talent, by the way, is a measurement of money, as you know. And you remember the guy, the king, called his servants together. And he gave them according to their ability. I hate it that we're not all created equal. I'd like to be like some of you. But we're not created equal. Some have more ability than us. They've been the truth. A lot of you are more talented than I am. But all of us have one. Because you remember, he called them all together and he gave them according to the ability, the one he gave five. Why did he do that? Because that person had the ability to handle five. So one, another, he gave two. Why did he only give two? Because that's all. That one had the ability to help. But I want us to notice that the one he gave one Everybody had the ability for one. Just one. So I don't ever want us to think there's nothing I can do. There is. You just have to be willing. Willing to find it. Willing to find it. Willing to do it. So many want the big job. I'm not sure what that is. I think our idea of big jobs, God's idea of big jobs, might be a lot different. But some of the most talented people in the congregation are the ones that keep it going. They work behind the scenes. They do that among them. You know, the rest of them show up on Sunday morning. The Lord's Supper all spread out here. Boy, are we glad to have the Lord's Supper. You know, we never thought who put it out. If somebody had to prepare it. We come and we're glad that the song leaders know who's leading singing. We know who's leading prayer. We know who's waiting on the table. Somebody had to make the block. Nobody had to arrange that, didn't they? These are little jobs. Somebody had to do it. I know we probably pay somebody. Most of us do. But you don't see a lot of long line jobs lining up. Not a fun job. But can you imagine coming to church? The building not clean. Going to the restroom, stinks to high heaven. You get ready to take the Lord's Supper and it's not there. That happened at Hawthorne. Just so happened my father-in-law was head of the table. And at Hawthorne they had one of the little microphone and it hung around your neck. Well, Dad was head of the table, and so they did his thing and he raised his to look at the bread and there weren't none. So he looked at a couple more, thought maybe, you know, they'd put them a little bit lower. So he looked over at the Lord, at the fruit of the vine, and it wasn't any. He said, I'll be right back, but he forgot to take off. And so he about hung himself. But, you know, I have no idea who was supposed to repair that. And I don't ever want to know, and I don't want that person to ever feel bad because things happen. But can you imagine how you'd feel? Ready to take the Lord's Supper, and there's a song had been sung, and see, somebody had to do that. Get here, and so we no song leader. What, you know, it's just little jobs that it takes willing people to do. Big jobs in God's sight, I think. Important. There is no unimportant job in the kingdom. And we all have at least the ability to do one and to be willing. Chapter 36. Y'all don't have a clock in you? Oh yeah, y'all can't see it. Oh yeah, verse 2. Moses called Bethuel and Oholiab. Are you listening? And every skilled person in whom the Lord hath put skill. Are you listening? Everyone whose heart stirred to come to the work of God. Everybody has something. You know, there's a skill that we each person has. and it's so vital, so important. And the only thing it's going to take, the only thing it's going to need, is for you to be willing. And every person, see, this Christianity stuff is so personal. So personal. When we pass from this life and we stand before the judgment of God, God's not going to be interested in you telling them all the good work that took place at Luke. It's just going to be personal, you and God. You and God. And so this is why this is so important, because no one is in charge of your heart. See, nobody can make you want to be willing unless your heart is stirred. Your heart moves you. And we have that response. It's not individual. And that should be. Because you see, I want my own reward. I want God to say, well done. Oh, I hope he's happy with Newland Street. But tell you the truth, I'm only concerned about him being happy with me. But I got to answer. Because you see, my destiny, where I'm going to spend eternity, depends on that. On what God thinks of me. I hope he loves Newland Street. I hope he loves Empire. I hope he loves all the Lord's congregation. But when it comes to that point, it's you and God. And your willingness, you see, you're in control of your heart. I'm in control of mine. And that's why it's so vital to determine to have a willing heart. You see, you have to have a willing heart to be saved. You have to have a willing heart that's willing to read God's word. Let God's word move you. And it takes a willing heart to obey God. It takes a willing heart to serve God. It takes a willing heart to serve people. It takes a willing heart to be God's chosen. And you are. You are. Now these Israelites here, God chose them. They really didn't have any merit. It was all God's idea. He chose them. So they are God's chosen. But you chose God. You chose to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You chose to be obedient to the gospel. You chose. And the day you were baptized, after you made your confession, you were put in that water and God forgave you. And you became his child. You chose. Now these Israelites didn't choose. God chose them. They have no choice. Nothing they can ever do. They'll always be an Israelite. There's nothing they can do. They'll always be God's children. Hate to tell you that. That's true with you too. See, when you obeyed the gospel and God added you to the church, God made you his child, you will be his child. Now, with a willing heart, you will serve him. But if you're unwilling, you're still a child of God. You're just a disobedient one. See, there's nothing I can do to alter the fact that I am a lost son. I was born a lost son. I can change my name. That don't change the fact I was born a lost son. I can be a discredit to my family, but that don't alter anything. I can bring dishonor to my family. Just the same as you can bring dishonor to God. But you still kid. I don't know of any way. I read how the Lord added to the church. But I don't read how anybody ever got out of it. Once you become a child, you had to be willing to do that. You chose. And you became God's child. It takes a willingness. And we're always looking for willingness in the church. God searches for willingness because he's looking for people. We're thankful for your support for Agape Village. We have people from here, and we want you to consider, because it takes willingness. And that's up to you. It happened a number of years ago. A guy was riding on a ship. He was coming into port into the channel. And he was noticing that ship was moving at a pretty good clip. And as he stood at the rail, he could see the rocks and he could see the shoals. And man, they say looked dangerous to him. So he became quite concerned about his safety. And so he looks up to the captain and says, "Captain, do you know where all these rocks are? Do you know where all of these dangerous places are?" And the captain said, "No, I don't. But I know where the safe channel is." Are you listening? There's a lot of things out there that can hurt you. There's a lot of things that can destroy you. But this is the safe channel. We stay in the safe channel. We don't have to worry about the rock. We don't have to. We just have a willing heart. We want to obey what the Lord says. And so we spend our time developing ourselves. Be willing. The safe channel. Tonight, I hope you're in the safe channel. Because I know that's best for you. I know that's where you need to be. Because you see, to be in the safe channel, you have to be willing. And I hope you're willing to learn. That the Sunday night crowd, I doubt if there's anyone here that's not. But if you're not in the safe channel, please listen. We can pray for you, the people here will study with you. Your soul depends on you. But you gotta be willing. You gotta be willing. I don't know what your life has been like today. A lot of stuff out there. We talk about how powerful we think prayer is. But we oftentimes fail to ask our brothers and sisters to pray. Sometimes I think we're afraid they might look down on us. Guys, I don't care how people look at you. I just want you in the safe channel. So what? Who cares? Your soul depends on that, to be in the safe channel. So it's a tradition, this song. We call it the song of encouragement. I call it the song of opportunity, because it gives you an opportunity to see where you are. Listen to the words that it talks to your heart. Whoops. See, the heart is where the willingness takes place. And we can be helpful in praying for you. We can be helpful in any spiritual. This is your opportunity. And we hope that if you need to, that you need. And together we stand, and together we sing.
Thank you so much, Hank and Betty, for being with us tonight. Look forward to being able to just visit some more after church and spend some time together tonight. It's always great to have reunions in the Lord, and appreciate you. And we thank you so much for coming. We'll be praying for Agape Villages as well. And I mentioned this morning that we have a son from Agape. It was Sierra Children's Home at the time. And it's a work that's dear to our hearts. We just really appreciate the work that's gone on for decades there. And thank you for your guys' involvement and support.